Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Armor Report. Our report covers stock market investing through the millennial lens. I'm your host, Brett Rosenthal, and in essence, I'm Generation X, and I'm bringing together the baby boomers and the millennials. This just isn't your dad's stock market anymore, and it's certainly not your granddad's. It's a millennial market. What that means is you need millennial tools to execute effectively. And so every day at 12 o'clock, trade permitting, I'm going to be sharing with you information directly off our trading desk with a focus on the interaction between traditional fundamental analysis and millennial execution. What does that mean? We still speak with management teams of companies. We see value in breaking down balance sheets and income statements and understanding a company's potential and different trends for different groups. We see zero value in PE ratios. We see very little value in people's expectations of what may or may not happen to a stock. What we look for are trends that are bankable, and then we use millennial tools to execute so we can get rid of the fear and the greed response and just execute based on reward versus risk probabilities. Now, I'm going to get into that a little bit later in the show. I'm going to define that a little bit more, but we like to use algorithms to help us execute. The overwhelming majority of execution by major institutions and professionals is done through the algorithmic approach. And so here on our trading desk, we've developed our own algorithms. They're proprietary. And what I try to do is share with you every day what they're saying about the big indexes, about individual groups, and about individual stocks. And when I'm talking about indexes and groups, I'm always talking about exchange-traded funds. The algorithms run and analyze exchange-traded funds. So the ETFs of the S&P, the NASDAQ 100, the Dow 30, Small Cap Index, Russell Small Cap, and the Mid Cap. Those are our big five. You can follow what our algorithms are telling us on a real-time basis on our website. We have a monitor that we update as soon as we can if there's a major change in the structure of the algorithms for those five indexes. You can find that at rosenthalcapital.com. And throughout the day, we try to update, you know, Twitter if we see something important happening with any of our algorithms. It could be the big indexes all the way down to individual stocks. If there's something important that we're trying to cover, we cover it on the Armor Report on Twitter, which is at Brett Rosenthal, B-R-E-T Rosenthal. So let's, without further ado, get to our first topic. Every day, I like to try to cover, you know, the news stories of the day and see how does it really affect our investing approach. Not our mood about the country, not our opinion of the economy, not any of that vitriol. All I care about on my trading desk and what I'm trying to impart to you on this show is how to make money investing in the stock market and reduce the noise out there. So what do we have today? Trump talking at the United Nations. So a lot of financial news networks like to pretend that's going to have some impact on the stock market. It has zero impact on the stock market with the exception of a 15-minute window. Trump says something during the speech that's trade war heavy, and the market sells off for 15 minutes because algorithms are out there designed to shake the tree. And as my friend and colleague Bill Jacobs likes to say, get you off the bus. The bus right now is headed higher in the stock market. And throughout the day, there will be these shakeouts based on, you know, erroneous pieces of news that financial websites like to shout at you and tell you it's important. It's not important. It should not get you off the bus. The bus is higher in the market. And you should take those opportunities instead of being afraid of the market. Use that fear to your advantage and add to positions or start positions that you've been looking to add to and start. So we look at the big indexes. Right now, there's really no change. We're We've been long the S&P 500 since the beginning of July. We're still in that long trade. We're still long the Dow based on our algorithms. We're still long the NASDAQ 100, same entry day as the S&P. So July, August, September, we're riding this market higher. Even as the rhetoric of trade disputes gets louder and traditional financial media wants you to believe that that's bad for the market, markets keep going higher. And so we just follow our algorithms, commit capital, put capital at risk when we feel the reward potential is great enough for the risk we're taking, and then use protective stops to defend the portfolio and our net worth. And the key there is it's very hard for me to say to you, here's how you should place your stop. It's a dynamic process. We have algorithms designed to tell us where stops should be. And it needs to be dynamic. In some markets, we'd be very aggressive with our stops. In other markets, we're wider with our stops and allow for greater volatility on an intraday basis or multiple day basis. Right now, we're in that process of giving more room to the market. Okay? Markets are headed higher. Markets are not showing any signs of weakness, regardless of what you might hear or read. When I say this isn't your dad's stock market, what I'm saying is you've got more information flows than really any other generation had to deal with. And a lot of the, quote, information is erroneous. Okay? So what I want to focus on right now is drilling down into the individual groups. We're still long the S&P, the Dow, the NASDAQ 100. Told you yesterday we're looking at the small cap index. We may get an opportunity there. Haven't gotten one yet, but we're not long the small caps. We're not taking a new position yet, but they are setting up a potential. So every day near the end of the day here, we're looking for an entry point. If you follow us on Twitter, if there's something important later today, we will update it. And of course, we'll update our website as well. Let's drill down into some of the groups. Recently, we've talked about the semiconductors and the biotechs were a recent purchase, along with the Chinese internet index, KWEB. So this is an update from last week. If you were listening to the show last week, following us on Twitter at Brett Rosenthal, you'd see we were buying these groups. So semiconductors are challenging the stop right now, but we're still long that index. In the meantime, KWEB and biotechs are making money for us. So we have a slight loss in semiconductors. We're making money in biotechs, which look fantastic and are breaking out in here. So that entry point looks like a real winner. And KWEB is making some money, making some progress. I think we think it's scratching out a bottom. So in the midst of the news stories about how awful trade wars are, it looks like Chinese stocks are bottoming based on our algorithm. The reward's worth the risk at this point. The reward is worth the risk. I'm going to talk about that more later. That's how we make every decision here. It's not our opinions of whether or not we like what Trump is doing or we're afraid of what China is doing. None of that matters. When reward versus risk sets up appropriately and the probabilities are in your favor, you put capital to work. KWEB did that last week, so did the biotech index, so did semiconductors. Semis are the only one that are challenging their stop at the moment. But so far, so good, holding up. So we'll see what happens. I find it really amazing. You want to ask, why do we think that the bus of the stock market is moving higher? Why do we keep saying it's so strong based on our algorithms? Well, one example is the action in the NASDAQ 100 today. Semiconductors are down, and the NASDAQ 100 is higher by a third of a percent. I misspoke. I'm looking at QLD, which is the ETF that we own of the NASDAQ 100. It represents twice the performance of the triple Qs, and that's where we put capital. So we get growth stock type returns without the risk of buying an individual name by owning the ETF QLD. And it's a very liquid ETF. So the Qs are up about 0.16% on the day. And that's amazing, with semiconductors down 1.3%. In the past, you would never see the triple Qs up on a day like that. It just shows you how strong the software part of the market is, and particularly cloud computing. And we're going to get to that in a minute. That's the special focus of today. We're going to discuss cloud computing and what our algorithms are saying about that investment as a whole. So just to move on, we're watching semiconductors. Let's see if they hold up today. If not, we'll be out of that position by the end of the day. Now, something to highlight, something people are concerned about in this market is rising rates. Now, we have not been concerned about it here on our desk. And the primary reason is our algorithms have had us long the utility index for most of this year, going back to June of this year. So June, July, August, September. So 4 months, we've been in a massive uptrend in utilities. So while interest rates were going higher, utilities were going up aggressively. So therefore, we feel no real reason to be concerned about rising interest rates. Now we have a breakdown in utilities. That four-month run, it was a beautiful run in our algorithm. We got stopped out of that position on the 19th of September. We got stopped out, okay? And ever since then, utilities have been making new lows literally every day since then, okay? And we've got new lows for the year in the Treasury ETF, TLT, that we have specific algorithm written for. And we've been out of the Treasury ETF. We haven't really traded that much this year. We've been in cash most of the year, a little bit of a long position in February and March, and then mostly cash the rest of the year in TLT. So TLT is making a new low on the year, which is a new high in yield, and now utilities are responding to it. So put that somewhere in your mind. It's possible that could start to have a negative impact on the market. We're not doing anything about that. We're not changing our approach. We might be going long small caps by the end of today. Markets are headed higher. It's just something to think about. And if we get stopped out of our long positions in the big equity indexes, you better pay attention, because that'll corroborate the breakdown in utilities and treasuries. Okay. Now let's go over to, I want to flesh out a little bit with you. I've been talking a bunch about reward versus risk and probabilities and statistics. That's what our algorithms are based on. That's millennial execution. I just wanted to give you a quick thought to put that into a perspective that's a little bit easier to understand. I know my dad likes to say, and has my whole life, you need to make the unfamiliar familiar. Everything in life is about making the unfamiliar familiar, and then you can succeed. And so one way to take the terms algorithms and executions and algorithms and make that term familiar to you is to apply it to another endeavor, as opposed to stock market investing. And I just want to give you a scenario. We all know Texas Hold'em. We've all heard of poker and Texas Hold'em. If you have 10 people at the table and you get dealt a pair of aces, that is by far the best hand you can have. I think the returns on that investment are better than 70%. And so Texas Hold'em, when you get dealt a pair of aces, your probabilities and statistics at that moment in time are at their highest. Now, it would be ideal, because you're going to get a pair of pocket aces once an hour, statistically speaking, at a table of 10. And if you just waited for those aces and you went all in every time you had those aces, and you have a 70% chance plus of making money every time you do that, that'd be a great way to, play Texas Hold'em. Of course, you can't do that in Texas Hold'em, right? Even though the probabilities and statistics are in your favor, everybody at the table will realize that you're only playing aces and nobody will pay you on that investment when you put all in. And of course, when you're wrong, you lose all your money. Okay? So the strategy of only putting capital in when you get a pair of aces doesn't work in poker. But it works in stock market investing. If you have a tool that will let you know when you've got aces, when it's time to put risk on, and you get aggressive during those times of the year, and your probability of success is greater than 70%, you will be successful over time. And here's the beauty. You could go all in stock market investing, and you don't have to lose it all when you're wrong. You employ a stop. You cut your losses quickly. But when you're right, you get paid in spades, right? Because no one knows at the table you're all in. It doesn't make a difference. This is a huge table. It's worldwide. You put your capital to work when your probabilities are at their highest. You stop your loss so you don't lose it all. But you ride your success when you're right. That's millennial execution. That's what we're doing with algorithms. Our algorithms tell us when we've just been dealt pocket aces, and that's when we put capital to work. All right, moving on. I talked to you about cloud computing. That's the focus of today. The basic gist of what our algorithms are saying on the cloud computing market is that it's beginning to bifurcate. The investor needs to focus their investments in the cloud, particularly on companies that have a specific niche, because the big players are teaming up to take over the generic parts of the cloud. So companies that are competing with the Googles and the Amazons and the Adobes and the Microsofts and the CRM Salesforce, you know, of the world, that's becoming very dangerous ground. Just look at a company called Nutanix this week. Stock's been getting destroyed. I love the company. I've done a lot of work on it. We've done a lot of research on our trading desk here. We think it's a great idea over time. But right now, we're out of the stock. Our algorithms are telling us to be completely away from that group. And the fundamentals corroborate that, because you're getting, as we saw this week, a combination of Microsoft and Adobe and SAP are teaming up to really dominate a cloud offering. So the behemoths in the industry are going at it, and the smaller guys are going to have to struggle to find a way to survive. And they may find a way to survive, and we're going to follow them on our algorithms, and we might use weakness in Nutanix to put money to work later this, you know, who knows, this month, this year. But for right now, we're focusing our cloud investment dollars on niche type of investments. One of our favorite is a company called, and this is just one example, okay, this company called Zscaler. Zscaler is putting cybersecurity into the cloud. So now there's a cloud idea, but it's a specific niche that Zscaler is really good at, cybersecurity in the cloud. That makes a lot of sense to us. Just 2 days ago, we had a long entry on our algorithm into Zscaler. ZS is the symbol. So there's an example of where we put cloud dollars into cloud companies that have a specific niche. On that list, Zscaler just came out yesterday, but names like Avalara, AVLR is one of our favorites. Got my eye on Carbon Black, CBLK is a favorite. Also, companies that are moving their business to the cloud, something like a Splunk, which is doing software as a service in the cloud. So that's a cloud play, but they're just basically converting their own business to a cloud format, and they have their niche carved out. There's a good idea. Now, we're not long these names right now. This is not a recommendation for you to run out and buy all these things. This is just an example of companies that have a cloud niche. And so that's where you kind of want to focus your investing based on our algorithms, and maybe stay away from some of the companies that are competing with the big guys who are creating some serious tremors in the cloud space right now. So that's just a thought for you on cloud. Let me shift for a second and address, well, maybe it's not a shift really. Let's stay on cloud and talk about IBM's cloud. Those of you who follow us on Twitter and have been listening to these podcasts for the X amount of months, reading some of our Armor reports, know that we are big supporters of IBM. We think IBM is going to be a big stock over the next year to 3 to 5 years. This is a big company involved in a massive turnaround. It takes time. While we are waiting for that turnaround to unfold, we've been collecting better than 4% dividend yield. We're getting paid to wait in IBM. But IBM has some very compelling fundamentals that are unfolding. And we talked about this in the last couple of calls where we feel IBM is our favorite investment fundamentally for the blockchain revolution that we see unfolding over the next 12, 24 months, that we feel is going to be a driver of business for both IBM's business overall and other companies that are focusing on the development of blockchain technology. And so the way we invest here is we do fundamental analysis, we find a turnaround play like IBM, we like that idea, then we use our algorithms to find entry points. So we've been long IBM now since its double bottom, you know, back, let's take a look. Most recently, our most recent entry point will be back on the 15th of August. And you see this big double bottom that's formed in the stock going back to August of last year. So you have a 12-month double bottom algorithmic entry point, better than 4% yield, company doing stock buybacks. Relatively low risk. Reward is substantial at this point. If they can deliver on the turnaround, this is going to be a big stock over the next couple of years. So now let's look at some fundamental stories that have come out recently that are pretty compelling. Our general thesis on our trading desk is that the blockchain revolution that IBM is spearheading is going to drive IBM's other business opportunities in the cloud, in AI, in cybersecurity. It's going to be some rocket fuel on the growth that's already occurring for IBM in those spaces. There's growth there. But their spearhead in blockchain, we think, is going to help drive those other businesses. And you're going to get some earnings upside surprises as that happens. Yesterday, we saw a major announcement. Almost really nobody cared about it. IBM stock blipped up for 5 minutes maybe and sold off a little bit. It already had a nice little run. Now it's selling off a bit. But it's, make no mistake, a watershed event for the company. Over 12 months ago, IBM and Walmart teamed up to do a pilot project for blockchain use in China to track vegetables, fruits and vegetables that Walmart was selling in their stores. They wanted to track the movement of this fresh produce through each step in the process, so that when a contamination occurred, they would be able to figure out quickly where it was and deal with the issue. Because at the time, there was no way to quickly figure it out. It took 7+ days to figure out where the contamination was. And of course, what they had to do is just throw out all of their produce whenever there was contamination. Well, they implemented IBM's blockchain in a pilot project in China, and they cut the time it was taking to track an E. coli outbreak from 7 days to 2.2 seconds. Has a major impact on Walmart's business and all of the suppliers. Yesterday, Walmart announced that anybody supplying fresh produce to Walmart in the United States of America is going to have to be on IBM's blockchain. Think about that. Think about that. You think Walmart's going to be the only company doing this in the U.S.? IBM has created a simple app that can be used on a cell phone or a computer system for suppliers of Walmart who supply fresh produce to upload all their data to get onto the blockchain. Oh, but guess what? Where does all that uploaded data go? That's right, IBM's cloud. IBM's cloud. Blockchain will be driving IBM's cloud adoption and use and revenue and earnings. It's going to be a beautiful thing. That announcement yesterday is watershed. People aren't listening yet, but they will. They will. There'll be a earnings announcement at some point in here that surprises the street. Stock will be up 10% and everyone will be on board with the story you heard first right here.
Order filled.
That you heard first right here on the Armor Report. Make no mistake. And so reward versus risk. We can pick up a 4% yield. We can own a company that's doing stock buybacks. But at the same time, at this point, blockchain revolution's unfolding. IBM is at the forefront. Algorithm tells us to be long. That's how you make money in the stock market. I think tomorrow we might spend some time chatting about cybersecurity. Perhaps we'll go over some of the 5G investment opportunities that are out there. I hope this has been informative for you. Just to wrap up, I would say at the end of the day, keep your eye on the semiconductor space. There's no recovery there. We're going to be lifting that out of the portfolio. Keep your eye, as we are, on utilities and treasuries. If they keep making new lows, that could be a problem for the market. So that coupled with stop losses being hit on our big indexes is something we would have to pay close attention to. And at the end of today, I know this sounds contrary to what I just said, because we don't make excuses here. I don't come up with opinions here. I'm telling you what to look for based on algorithms. So watch XLU, watch TLT. If they keep selling off, that could be a problem. Right now, it's not. And at the end of today, we might be long small cap stocks in the portfolio again. The one sector of the market that we're not long at the moment, right? Our algorithms tell us to be long the S&P, the NASDAQ 100, the Dow, and the mid-cap index. If we get a strong close, we may be long small caps as well. We may not. I'll let you know. Follow us on Twitter. We'll talk to you tomorrow and update it again. You all have a good trading day. Thanks for listening.